community.
Alive 90.5.
And now on Alive 90.5, here's the latest news brought to you by PACE, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Laura Devoy. Australian Federal Police have raided the home of a New South Wales Labor MP in relation to an ASIO investigation into Chinese influence in Australian politics. Officers arrived at Shakat Mosselmain's home early this morning and searched the house and three cars over several hours. In identical statements, ASIO and the AFP say search warrants were executed as part of an ongoing investigation, but the raid does not relate to any specific threat to the community. Officers are also believed to have raided Mr. Mosselmain's office. Labor leader Jodie McKay says the raid is concerning and Mr. Mosselmain's future in the Labor Party is being considered.
The first thing I did was speak to the General Secretary and ask him to suspend his membership. He will not sit in our caucus and this investigation needs to run its course.
The global investment firm Bain Capital has emerged as the new owner of Virgin Australia, with the airline's administrators agreeing to sell the ailing airline to the Boston-based company. Administrators Deloitte say the sale and implementation deed is subject to minimal conditions. The other main bidder, US investment advisor Cyrus Partners, earlier withdrew from the bidding process after claiming the administrators had failed to enter into meaningful negotiations. Deloitte says it does not expect any return to shareholders, and at this stage it isn't possible to estimate the return to Virgin's creditors, who are owed $7 billion. Victoria has reported 30 new COVID-19 cases in the past 24 hours. Seven of those are linked to known outbreaks. Five were detected through routine testing. Five are in hotel quarantine and 13 are still under investigation. 20,000 tests were undertaken in Victoria yesterday, with that number expected to rise as the state undergoes a testing blitz in 10 Melbourne suburbs. Meanwhile, New South Wales has reported six new cases, five in hotel quarantine and one in a high school in Sydney's southwest. Camden High School has been closed today for deep cleaning. Queensland also has one new case in hotel quarantine. Support for the arts and aviation sector may continue past September when JobKeeper, the government's wage subsidy program, ends. From Canberra, Amanda Kopp reports.
The Prime Minister says industries like entertainment and aviation will continue to be impacted by coronavirus measures beyond September. Telling 2GB Radio, the government knows they will need continued assistance.
So it has always been our view that we're going to have to provide a targeted support in those areas.
It comes as Qantas axes 6,000 staff and stands down thousands more. National Cabinet has met today to discuss how arts and entertainment venues can operate in a COVID-safe way, with many shows and events unable to restart because of social distancing measures. Amanda Kopp, National Radio News, Canberra.
Motorsport is set to make a long-awaited return to Australia this weekend, with Supercars to hold its first race since before the coronavirus shutdown. Drivers will return to the track at Sydney Motorsport Park tomorrow with a 33-lap race to follow two practice sessions and qualifying, with two more 33-lap races on Sunday. Only two races have been run so far this year, with Holden's Jamie Wincup and Ford's Scott McLaughlin winning one each. And the start of the NBL season has been pushed back to late 2020. The NBL has announced its 2020-21 campaign is set to tip off on or near December 3rd and finish in mid to late April.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
Now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's currently 17 degrees and we're looking towards a top of 18 today, and it's nice and sunny. Slight chance of shower along the coastal fringe in the late afternoon or evening. Light winds becoming southerly up to 20 kilometres an hour later this evening. The sun will set at 4 minutes to 5 tonight and back up again at 7:01 in the morning. Looking for the weekend, mostly sunny on Saturday, 8 to 17. Again, mostly sunny on Sunday, 7 to 17. And Monday, back to work week, again, mostly sunny, 6 to 17. The moon is a waxing crescent with first quarter this Sunday, the 28th of June.
The updated traffic brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Wally Park, King George's Road at La Kemba Street. A car breakdown, heavy traffic conditions. One of three southbound lanes closed. Lane two in the middle, so please take care and exercise caution at Wally Park. Campsie, Bexley Road approaching Canterbury Road. A car breakdown again, one of three northbound lanes closed. The right turn lane, emergency services are in attendance. Please exercise caution as you go through Campsie this afternoon. It's 5 minutes past 12 on Alive 90.5. You're on Business Insights with Mario. Good afternoon, Mario. How are you?
Good afternoon, Darren. How are you?
It's a lovely afternoon, isn't it?
It truly is. You know, like, I think we're coming to spring, not the winter.
Well, just about. But the mornings are cold. It's cold overnight.
Look, I would ask you how's the mornings, because you're the man who wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and cycle 200 clicks.
No, I slept in this morning. I'll be up early tomorrow. Friends invited me out to a ride to Akuna Bay in West Head, so I'll be going out.
Is that
out
in Australia or...?
Yeah, okay. National Park, at the Pitwater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit of hike.
Yeah,
you
will be a bit
of
hike.
You'll go like a bit of car over there and then you cycle?
No, I'll ride from home. I'll meet them halfway to there.
Okay.
And I'll do about 80k.
Well, good luck to you. Yeah. You need to have some more energy for this one. Well, I would like to say and a welcome to all listeners to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario, Darren, and I. We have a super duper guest today, and we're going to talk to them about leadership today. Usually we have the My Blur being, in the beginning of every radio show. But however, this episode and this season, it's about leadership after the COVID. And I'm glad to present our first guest, and she's online. Her name is Kate Pierce. Hello, Kate.
Hello, how are you?
Not bad, Kate. How's the Brisbane? Tell me it's cooler there, the chillier than in Sydney.
Well, you know, you unfortunately can't visit us, but we're still very warm here, as always.
Oh God! You know, like this is the problem. You know, some parts of Australia are really enjoying the nights of warm weather, and while we are having the long sleeves. So, Kate, you know, we will not say we hate you. We love you, but we hate you. We hate you till we love you. I mean, everybody else.
At Mario.
Well, Kate, thank you for joining us today in the studio. Look, this is the first episode with you, and I was trying to chase you and headhunt you and everything else, and thank you for finding time to join us, to all our 2.8 million listeners or Live 90.5 best community radio station in the universe. Kate, for our listeners, who is a Kate Pierce from Brisbane?
Yeah, well, as you touched on, so I'm a Brisbane girl and I grew up and was raised in Brisbane. I grew up thinking actually I was going to be a psychologist. So for my whole high school, and I went to university studying psychology, and always been very people-centric. But something just didn't sit right with me about it when I finished my degree. So I found myself going into business, into leadership. And when I got there, I realized what had not sat well with me was that I was really interested in the business as well as being interested in people. Mm-hmm. So I decided to start my own business doing leadership development, because I could see in organizations they're often quite separate. People obviously tend to be people-centric or business-centric, and I was really interested in connecting the two. So essentially what we do is we support leaders to navigate and perform in the ever-changing business landscape, which COVID has obviously really extended at the moment.
Interesting. So Kate, in your own words, you know, obviously there's a different variations and different definitions of the leadership. But, you know, for our listeners, can you define what it means, the leadership in a corporate or business environment? How would you describe who is the leader, or what leader should represent, or how should behave, or, you know, I mean, should be good looking and sexy like me with my six pack with a lot of hair, look like a Fabian with a blonde hair, Darren on a horse. But the question I do really have, in all honesty, Kate, and you are the most suitable person to answer this, who is the leader, and what attributes needs to have the leader in corporate world?
Yeah, well, I think that's the million-dollar question, because it's a question that people can't think
of. I know. If you answer right, we're going to split half a minute Darren's going to give us. No, but in your own words, because it's like, you know, I mean, I tell you something, maybe that can help you. I'm seeing the leadership in a totally different way. You know, I mean, I truly believe that there's many definitions of it in corporate world, and many claim this title, but you're educating them. And tell me, what attributes use you inserting into the people who comes to you to train, be trained to be leader? What do you look into them?
I think the shift that's really happening in the leadership space is that we've often thought of the leader as an individual. So as one person who has this certain amount of power and decision-making, and that it's up to them to have outcomes in the organisation. Whereas what we're realising is that the business and the team and the leader all influence each other. So yeah. Leaders, regardless of their approach, really need self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're really working with leaders to develop. Self-awareness so that they know what they tend to react to in organisations, and so they can adapt their approach, because they shouldn't be taking one approach to different scenarios. So to me, a leader is someone who's very self-aware and very adaptable, because the world is changing around them so quickly.
Wow, that's in one breath, and I really appreciate this one, because you know, you say something very interesting, to adjust and adapt now. So in your own experience, let's go start from the back. COVID, what do you see, what's happening in your leadership during the COVID times? I mean, we're still in COVID times, but let's just say in that harsh lockdowns, darling, since mid-March, right? Yeah, since mid-March. So what did you saw the changes in the leadership or in the qualities of the people? Do you see that some leaders emerge at new generations, or, you know, I mean, they show some new attributes and some new initiatives? Or do you see that some leaders actually didn't know how to cope with this?
Yeah, it was interesting, because what I saw was that leaders who were already having difficulty leading people had that accentuated when COVID became. So if there were already problems there, they became worse if they hadn't dealt with certain approaches that weren't working for their people. Whereas people that had worked on their leadership and that were adaptable were able to shift and see that they needed to do things differently. So having to virtually, and it's very new for most leaders, and some people approached it very much as a process, where they thought they'd just get onto the telephone or get onto Zoom and everything would just go back to functioning properly, whereas other people seemed to understand that they needed to shape this experience for their staff and that it was different. So there was definitely a difference in success levels with people that could adapt and people who tried to just continue to do the same thing.
Interesting enough, because Adana and I, we can't mention the names, and particularly myself, because I'm taking like 99.9% of the airtime, but I noticed something very interesting. You know, there was a people before the COVID-19. You know, I mean, they have the big marketing machine behind them. They were strong in social media, and somehow they disappeared in during the COVID. That's what you said. Now, if you give us the before the COVID-19. How did you see the leadership in Australia in the corporate world? How did you see, what was the ups and what was the downs for the leaders in the pre-COVID times?
Leadership's going through a really big shift, and it's really challenging for a lot of leaders, because especially in Western world, we often hire people for their technical expertise, not their leadership. So people get put in their roles because they might have a technical knowledge of the area that they're leading. And because the world's changing so fast and people are getting so busy, they can no longer be the only person that has that knowledge or the only person to make decisions, because they just can't cope with that level of work. And so people are taking on more of a coaching approach to their leadership, so that they can really start to build up the people around them and understand that their power is not just over people, but actually with people. And this is a really big shift for leaders.
Wow, okay, I'm sorry, interrupted you. Like a power, it's with the people. Sorry, what did you say? Power, it's with, for the.
So it's previously been that we have this power over people, not even in a bad way, but as the key decision maker sometimes in the businesses. Mm-hmm. And it's really shifting to them understanding that they need to have power with people. So their staff and the business needs to operate all together in alignment, rather than having this one figure. Because for leaders, it's too big a role now to take on, and they don't hold all the knowledge in this ever-changing world.
Interesting. Darren, what's your experience in your last position, you know, I mean, about towards the leaders and leadership there?
Well, yeah, just going through a lot of thoughts of what I did over the last 20 years, and specifically the last couple of years, and then even just with COVID as well, is that the self-awareness aspect is key and critical in my mind. And to be self-aware in yourself, you can actually help others to be self-aware as well. And what Kate was saying about power with the people rather than power over the people just resonates so well in that you need to actually engage the people that they
want to. Yeah, she said this very well, actually, Kate. Yeah, that's one, yeah.
And so,
Kate, yeah, I'm sure that's a line from someone else.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And if you find it, you can put it on LinkedIn. And we'll tick it and say, yes, thanks for you sharing, Kate, because you're sharing very well with us here. A question to you, if I may, and I'm not quite sure if we can talk about this later, is that two things. When someone's not self-aware in a team or even in a leader, how you would coach a leader or have a leader coach someone who is not self-aware? And second question as well is that it tends to be, even with COVID, is that we have a lot of sessions with Zoom and this and that, the other, but actually not giving people much time to get the work done, but then expecting them to do it after hours. So what are your thoughts on those two topics?
Yeah, in terms of the self-awareness, you know, leadership development and even coaching, it's all essentially around change. We're asking people to change behaviour or to change performance. And so if somebody doesn't want to change, you're going to have a tough time developing them in certain areas. So that self-awareness, people need to be open to wanting to develop that. And a really effective way of doing that is often to get a range of feedback from different people. So in corporate, we talk about it as a 360-degree feedback survey where people ask direct managers, they ask their staff, they ask other people that know them to give them feedback on how they see them as a leader so that they can find trends in that. It's not coming from one person. And often this can be quite a confronting process for people if they haven't undertaken that before and they don't have self-awareness. Mm. But getting that range of opinions lets them have a look at trends rather than whether it might just be a one-off with a certain person. So that can be a really effective way of building that in leaders.
And Kate, yeah, I was just touching on that point about being confronting. For someone who's very much highly technical, often the idea of self-awareness and feedback is very confronting. How do you help someone who you're coaching who might go, well, I've got all this feedback, but that's not me?
It's a good one.
Yeah, it can be a slow process.
Yeah.
With Mario saying that's him.
Yeah. I'm sitting here, the fire, you know, maybe between you and Darren, so let's go fight. Please, Kate, if you can.
I guess the power in coaching is finding the right way to present a question to people. And again, you can't force someone to take on that feedback, but I find if you have an experienced coach, they can usually find a little thread, a little entry point to pose a question in a certain way that gets the person thinking. And that's the power of coaching. It's letting the person sit with what you've asked them. And it may not come back to them for a year later, but you're kind of planting a seed for them to start to investigate and consider the feedback that's been given. Again, if someone really doesn't want to take that, they're not likely to do that. So it's not magical. It's not something that we can force on someone. But most people, once they get this range of feedback, because it's come from a variety of people, although they're confronted, they will tend to usually lean in and listen to the feedback that's been given.
Interesting you say there, if I may, Mario. Sorry,
of course,
I'm taking a bit of the microphone today. You're saying the idea of being confronting, taking that away, it may not be a year. I went through a personal experience myself and working with a coach, and they were working with just an idea to say, this is what it is and you've got to do something about it. And I said, nah, not going to do it. You've got no idea. About 2 weeks later, I went back to them and said, yep, okay, I understand. I've done something and it's been really, really good. And so personally, I can say to the listeners that, you need to get a good coach if you're really struggling with something and really just need to get to the point. And Kate's going to give us some more great thoughts about how to best tackle coaching in that sort of environment.
Absolutely, but we should give her a little breather, you know what I mean, to have the water.
Why not?
That's a Kate Pierce from Persona. What's it called, the business you're running? Persona, Kate?
Personified.
Well, my English is terrible, eh? Anyway, you're listening. Business Insights with Myron Live, 90.5. Kate Pierce from Brisbane, Personified. And Darren and I will take a short break. And Kate, she can have the breather.
Alive, 90.5.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass. Yeah, it's pretty clear, I ain't no size 2, but I can shake it like I'm supposed to do. 'Cause I got that boom boom that all the boys cause you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, hey. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass. Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass. Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. Hey, 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 ooh, you know you love this bass. Hey.
Concise Finance is a nationally recognised mortgage broking firm with an integrated and holistic approach to financial services. We are built on the foundations of a tailored experience for each customer. With extensive experience in residential and investment property loans, we are the mortgage broking firm that will help you secure your financial freedom. The ethos at Concise Finance is to fully engage with clients to get it right the first time. If you're looking for your next property or to better your interest rates, call one of the team from Concise Finance on 1300 978 357. Station sponsor.
It really hurts us when a loved one passes on, but it's nice to know that their memory will be well respected in their final resting place. Castlebrook Memorial Park has looked after the families of loved ones for over 50 years. You can visit them and talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
My name is Bernie, and I'm a prostate cancer specialist nurse, and I need your help, please. My patients are struggling with a double threat from prostate cancer and from COVID-19. They're sick, distressed and isolated. In Australia, we lose 3,500 men to prostate cancer every year. My own dad had prostate cancer, and I lost him last year. I don't want us to lose anyone else. With just a few dollars, you can help.
Will you become a Blue Hero and support nurses on the front line? Go to blueheroes.com.au now.
Alive 90.5, all the way from the 70s, 80s, 90s and today.
Hello, Miller.
It's 24 minutes past 12, 17 degrees, Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario.
And Darren, it's a Friday, you know, most of people are completing their daily work and they're looking forward for the weekend. However, we're going to continue with the interview with the expert on leadership, Kate Pierce from Personified, and she's in the sunny Brisbane, which we don't like it. However, we need to let her go to leave. You know, Kate, before we have the interview today with you, I just done some small research and I took it in my Kindle, and I'm just going to read this very quickly. You can agree or disagree with me and I can say to you a couple of words on my... They say... An effective leader is someone who can communicate rationally, connect relationally, manage practically and lead directionally and strategically. Effective leaders demonstrate not just IQ but EQ. They share knowledge and information, yet understood emotions and connections. Now, on the same page, statistics says biggest impact on business growth is or decline. It's a 38%. It's a leadership management. Now, my first question, how much leadership influencing growth of the business or decline?
I think leaders Yeah, leaders have a huge impact on the business, but they don't have it by themselves. So I think the mistake is looking at this single person and seeing them as a single impact, whereas research and interest now is more moving towards how as a system the business operates with both the leader and the people within it. So they're certainly, I guess, influencing those around them and can have a positive or a negative influence in how they do that. But we're really moving away from thinking about this one person, and I think because we put them on such a pedestal, we almost think they probably have more of an impact than sometimes they do. I think though anyone that's worked with a leader that we might refer to as a toxic leader would know how bad a negative impact poor leadership can have on a business.
I agree with, I concur with this with you. And I'll tell you one example. My last post, and before I go from the military to the diplomacy, I was in military. Anyway, long story short, people love to talk about leadership, and I was never being built during, like, you know, I never been prepared to be the leader. And I mean, I was just, you know, I mean, just the officer, you know, I mean, and this is my job, this is my daily job. And but before we went into combat, I do remember we will get the red booklet, right? And you need to write in that red booklet, you know, I mean, strength of your unit, you know, I mean, and then as a leader to determine what's going to be fatality rate, right? Yes. And everything above 8%, it shows a poor leadership, right? Now, there's two distinct things, you know what I mean? The first one, it's like in the case you've been mortally wounded, you know what I mean, or died, who is replacing you? So the hierarchy was always being, you know what I mean, from the top to the bottom, you know what I mean? So you need to train the NCOs below everything else, and your leadership was being example, not like you charging on the bunkers, you know, you know, jumping on the people or something, like killing this, but it was that you must understand the lowest job of the cook, and you must understand the most complex job of the staff officers, right? And that was how it's been based, your leadership in the military, right? Particularly in combat, you know, I mean, for 8 years. But now, Kate, we're not in combat, we're coming to the COVID, and we discussed this opportunity that people actually didn't show the skills, and it's not only about leaders, it's companies going to grow or not grow. I do agree with you, it is not the case. But why the leadership usually, or leaders, try to overpower peers on a workplace instead of to be the part of the peers or the employees or the workforce?
Yeah, I think it very much depends on the personality of the person that's put in the position. Sometimes that can come from a place of insecurity. So sometimes that can come from a place where the person hasn't been developed as a leader and they're not quite sure how to navigate the complexity in front of them. Because if you think about the quote that you just read out, that's a lot to ask of a person to be able to deliver all of those things. So I think it can come from personality traits in a person and sometimes not knowing how to navigate that, or it can sometimes just come because the person in power in this situation has given them power over people. But what I'm really interested in is sustainable performance.
Yes.
So while you may have power over someone and work in a certain way and they might do what you're asking, you're very unlikely to get that in a sustainable way if you're doing it in a way that's aggressive or in a way that's not taking them on the journey with you. So when we think of performance, we should think of sustainable performance. You want it to be long-term and in different contexts.
That's very interesting. So tell me, Kate, what's the first thing you look into somebody who comes to you? And, you know, like, I know that this is the fact you organized many, many, public speaking events last year. Unfortunately, this year we're going to do everything on the Zoom. But, you know, when somebody comes to you being trained to become the leader or to improve the skills, what is your first question you ask somebody who comes to you and say, hi, Kate, I'm asking for Darren, you know, I mean, and myself, like, we want to be the leaders. And Darren's just a shy like me. Look, so let's say Mario Beckes wants to come and I want to, in my business, to become more productive leader. What was the first question you're going to ask me before you start training me, coach me?
Well, it might sound like a strange question, but the really good first question from a coach is asking the person what they want to talk about. Because in actual fact, people often come knowing an area that they've given feedback on that they need to work on, or there's a certain thing in their mind that they think that they might need to work on. So starting at that point, because everybody is so different in what they need to address, allows you to continue on with the questioning to get to the bottom of what you might need to work on with the person. Mm-hmm. We touched on feedback previously, so I'm always interested in what type of feedback people are getting from those around them, because it's often a really good trend of what's going on in the workplace and in their leadership. So there's no one thing that someone comes to me with that I'm going to do the same thing for everyone.
What do you think, Darren? You were quiet. I can see your face. You know, be like
a lot of things that have gone through over my table across the career. A question for you, Kate. As far as the feedback element, and say for an example, if you're working with someone who really wants to say, "I just want to get things done," but everyone says, "Well, you've got a bit of an ego." What's going on there? Do you think?
What's going on with them? Or?
Yeah, and how would you coach them?
I think really asking them. So when you're coaching someone, you're putting a little bit of pressure and tension on to get someone to think about things in a different way. So I guess asking them how it's working for them at the moment. So if people are giving them that feedback, it's getting them to understand that although they might have this pressure, delivery, they're getting feedback around them that possibly that's not creating the best outcome or the best functioning. So it's really taking them through that journey of listening to what's going on around them and getting them to consider and reflect on whether their approach is getting the best outcome. So definitely it would be questioning them around considering what's going on around them rather than just their preference for delivery.
Okay, did you ever turn anybody to be trained as a leader under your supervision or you as a coach? Did you ever have experience somebody comes to you and say, "I want to be a leader"? I don't want to say his name, but first name is Mario Beckers, and I want to rule the company. I want to smash. And then I come to you. Is anybody comes to you and you say, like, "Unfortunately, I can't train you because of the, you know, maybe the ego or maybe just the power trip, or, you know, I mean, you can see that this person will not achieve, you know, I mean, sort of KPIs or whatever it's calling."
Yeah, I mean, as a coach, I guess the good thing, having been a leader myself and then taking on this role of coach, you're almost a third party. You can almost touch on that with people and not get the same outcome as if you were giving that feedback as a leader. So a good coach is not going to shy away from calling out challenges that people are demonstrating and calling out behaviours that are not going to work. It's about finding a way to explain it to that person in a way that's going to work for them. So maybe the person that you're explaining there might be really drawn to data, so it might be bringing research out to help them see that that's not an effective way to lead, or it might be getting feedback, or there's all these mechanisms that you've got to tiptoe around to try to find what the best approach is going to be for each individual so that they're going to listen to the messaging coming through.
Darren, you want to ask something?
Well, I was just going to jump on a few words you said there, Kate, where you have to be direct and you have to give them a lot of good feedback, but then you did use the word tiptoe. I'm just wondering, was that just an idea of
tiptoe,
you have to work with different clients, different leaders in different ways to actually get to see the data or the ideas? Or is there sometimes when somebody just does need to be tiptoed around, and how do you really get through to that sort of person and make them self-aware?
Yeah, I think sometimes you do have to tiptoe. You should never shy away, I think, from giving people a message. But if you present that message in a way that's not going to be effective for the person, I guess it's the same as when you're in a leadership role. You've essentially lost them. Like, you've lost them listening and their insight and consideration to what you're saying. So while I wouldn't shy away from giving someone feedback or touching on points that might be a bit controversial for them, I think it's really important as a coach to navigate and do it in a compassionate way, because we're not going in judging this person. They might have a development area there. We're not judging that they have an ego or that they have something else. We're trying to go in a compassionate way to try to find an end to what's going to be meaningful for them to learn.
That's very interesting. You know, listen now, Darren has, you know, he takes the notes as well, same time as I do. But, you know, I do have, you know, I don't know, it's a question or like to say some statement. But as I come back to the COVID-19, and I truly admire what you did, you know, I mean, on social media, you're still engaging people. And, you know, what upsets me to see, you know, so-called leaders and they were educated, some other people, you know, businessmen, doesn't matter, entrepreneurs, influencers, and they suddenly disappeared. So sometimes I think that action doesn't follow the words, the words doesn't follow the actions, people drop off the line. But I do have the question now related to social media. Do you believe that somebody on social media who has a lot of followers there is a good person to be the leader based on, having like, 150,000 people following or 1 million people following, do you believe that these people can climb the title of being the leader or not?
Oh, an influencer versus a leader question, because the internet's a really interesting space.
Well, you're the expert, so sorry if I didn't define this question very well, because like it's a lot of people there on the internet, and Darren will agree with me, maybe not, but as I said, I prefer my way. You better agree, Darren. So there's a lot of there, people who created a lot of followers there online, yeah. And they're claiming this title that they're leaders, but quantity versus quality and the quantity versus the actions, so-called the leaders. Do you believe that this is the good platform, to be the leader on social media and claim I'm the leader, or it's required more in-depth training like with a person like yourself because you're professional?
I think it depends, because anyone can be a leader, so you don't necessarily need to have training to be a leader. And it's the same as a coach. Anyone can call themselves a coach and have absolutely no training in coaching, which I think is a real problem. So we do need to be mindful, I guess, of who we're following and the information that we're listening to on the internet and the accuracy of that.
Yeah.
Because some people are just very skilled at marketing more than they're skilled at leadership. But I think it very much depends on the individual. There's some great leaders on the internet who have a mm-hmm. following because people really value their content and value the work that they do. And then there's people on the internet that are following and are good at marketing. So I think just as consumers, we need to be really, really in tune of the accuracy of the information that people feed us over the internet.
Well, before we take the break, I have the one more question for you. This is a short one. Kate, when you stand in front of everybody there on the stage as a public speaker and you just about to present, deliver the speech, how do you feel?
I think I feel like everyone feels anxious. I think I do a lot of mindfulness, and I think mindfulness is a really powerful skill. And not talking about sit-down meditative mindfulness, but just learning to practice getting yourself into the moment and getting yourself to be aware of the current moment that you're in allows you to sit with discomfort. So I find mindfulness really effective to just make sure that I can compose myself and hold the nerves. The nerves are always there, but I'm able to sit with them and still deliver on what I'm wanting to do in the presentation.
I'll be honest with you, I have no idea what the mindfulness it is, Kate. So we'll take a short break.
Do some, Mario.
That's the reason why I have you in the studio, so you can share your knowledge with our listeners. You're listening to Business Insights with Mario Live 90.5, Darren and Mario. And our lovely guest, Kate Pierce from Personal Fight in Brisbane. She's gonna take a short break with us and we come back with more questions. Thank you for listening.
Alive 90.5.
Oh. Oh. Just shoot for the stars. For my heart, if you feel like you take me away and make it okay, I swear I'll behave. You wanted control, so we waited. I put on a show, now I'm naked. You say I'm okay, my ego is bare. I don't give a shit, and it goes.
Till you're in the market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit realpropertybuyers.com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
Station sponsor Lynn's Fine Needlework is a one-stop shop for all your patchwork, quilting, needlecraft supplies and tuition. On lynnsfinenedlework.com.au, you'll see over 3,000 patchwork fabrics, hundreds of pattern kits, threads and lots of interesting projects for your selection. Their classes cater for beginners to advanced students who work at their own pace and receive individual attention. Enroll now by phoning 9686 2325. Lynn's Fine Needlework. Needlework at Suite 2, 97 Hills Road, Baulkham Hills. Sponsor, Keith Till's I Get Around show every Thursday at noon.
It's all I listen to. Alive 90.5, playing cool music.
It's 17 minutes to 1 on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario.
Well, thank you, darling. Thank you, Kate Pierce from Brisbane, being with us today in studio while being online. Kate, I know I heard for mindfulness, and you know, before we took the break, do you mind to share shortly with us what the mindfulness it is and how the people can utilize this in the daily life?
Yeah, mindfulness is really about just bringing one's attention to the current moment. So I think we're around so much distraction and so much change around us that our brains have really lost the ability to stay mindful on the present. So when you asked me about the presentation,
yes,
if we're standing and getting anxious about a presentation, we're starting to go into the future in our head. So we're starting to think, oh, what if I stumble on my words, or what if I fall over, and this happened last time. We go back to the past and we've lost in our mind the present moment. So it's really bringing yourself back to the awareness of the present moment and how you can stay focused on the message that you're wanting to get across.
So if I want to...
People often relate it to meditation, but it doesn't need to be a formal seated practice. It can be as simple as practicing by, when you're washing your hands, noticing the water going over your hands and what it feels like and what it sounds like, and just constantly bringing your brain back to the moment.
So question I do have for you. Let's just say I come to you and say, hi Kate, I like to be the public speaker and I want to educate people in my field, which is human intelligence interrogations investigations. However, I have the fear to stand in front of 20 people. Can you help me with that one?
Yeah, so I mean, what we work on, obviously, if it was a coaching scenario, is we'd be going into what that fear is coming from. So what is it that we're fearing? And acknowledging that we're probably all going to have that fear when we're public speaking. The difference is, are you going to hold that fear and still do it, or are you going to move yourself away from actually performing
the public speech? So you do have the tools. You have the tools and the methods. You can assist me to overcome those fears. And
yeah, definitely. To practice.
And to be, let's go say, for this example, better voice than Darren Capes Davis, because he gets all the good stuff in. I mean, everybody says Darren has a better voice than I do, which is not true. My polling, which I done on myself, I say my voice is better than his voice. No, but so you help the people to overcome the fears to become the public speaker, and you as well coach them into how to become the better leaders in a business. And what else you do to help the other businesses?
Yeah, and I think just touching on that, it's really important. I don't help people lose the feeling, so it's really important that we don't try to step away from what we're going to feel, which might be fear.
Wow, just stop that, Kate. This is the first ever time Mario Beckes on a radio with all guests heard. Truly, I don't want you to lose the fear.
No, you've got to hold the fear. The fear is a natural part.
I was just punching Darren now with the table, sorry, because you're right there. So, you know what I mean? So please continue.
So it's not about trying to lose that. It's about continuing even though you feel it, is the simplest way to put it.
Yeah.
So some people will never lose that. They're going to have it every time they speak and every time they stand up, but it's about still being able to progress even though you feel the fear.
Totally agree there. I have it all the time. and but you make conscious decisions of how to manage it, and then you actually make that part of even your subconscious. And I know that very well. Kate, I just wanted to touch on something we talked about earlier, and it was Mario's question. It's got me piqued with interest. He was saying the idea of the influencer versus the leader and in the online space.
Yes, that was Paul. Yes.
But I'm also thinking that often happens in the office. Now, is there a place for an influencer in the office versus a leader? Are they the same person? Can they be different people? And how do we manage it?
Goodness me, the questions.
Just an easy one for you.
There's a place for influencers. Well, there's lots of things in the workplace that need to be influenced, influencing people along on a change journey, influencing stakeholders. It's a really important skill as long as it's used for good. So I think the crux there is what people are using their influence for would be the key difference that I see. I think leaders do need to be influential because they're asking people to come along with them on a journey often, a journey of change and a journey of challenging scenarios in business. So it's an important skill to have, but I think it needs to be followed through with behaviour for good.
Is a leader different in, say, a startup versus a large multinational organisation?
It sort of depends on the person. I mean, it depends on the individual taking on the role. And I think the main thing to take from leadership is that we can't really control anyone else except for ourselves and our own leadership. So there's not one trait that I would see in a startup leader or a trait that I would see in a corporate.
I love it, this sentence. I truly love it. I knew it's going to be good to have it today in the studio, okay? To truly, you know, like, I can't say that some things as a radio star of this show because my voice is the best. But, you know, I mean, the darling, but we can't call the people names, you know, I mean, and say, you know, take the examples. But you say this in such a good way. And I mean, I truly congratulate you on this one because, you know, there's a big difference. And darling and I, quite often, I mean, we're seeing the, you know, people do have the influence on the internet. But when they open the mouth, it doesn't match the appearance on a social media. And then now you just explain this very well. And I truly believe that everybody who comes to you to be coached on all these levels, it's an amazing thing.
And I think, you know, you've asked a few times about what we might do if a leader has a certain trait or a certain tendency. But coming back to that situation that we can't control anyone except for ourselves, it's up to that leader to go through the development journey. So even if someone sends me a particular leader that they might think needs assistance, as I said previously, unless that person wants to undertake that and thinks that it's important and we can find a way that it means something to them, they're really not likely to undertake that. So it's really important for the person to want to go onto the development journey in order to shift parts of their leadership.
That's
and enhance. It's not just about improving. It's about enhancing our strengths as well.
Well. I wasn't expecting this one because, you know, on day-to-day basis, I receive the emails. I don't know where these people get my email address. Darren, I'm not sure how it's you, but, you know, every day getting some institute, you know what I mean?
I'm sorry, I'll share it.
Oh, okay, that was you. You know, they're like...
It's my side business.
Oh, okay. And you know, everybody try to share this, you know, join to the leadership course program, join this. And then sometimes I truly believe, maybe, Kate, if you disagree, please tell me. For you to be the leader, you must have the followers or, you know, peers or employees or somebody. Being the leader, it's accountability and responsibility for the everybody under you somehow. And most often I don't see the leaders in, not just in Australia, across the globe, you know what I mean, on the top of the pyramid of the chain, and you know, the leader, he gets a lot of perks. However, when the people losing this or some grief, you know, I mean, or is being lost something due to poor leadership, nobody forward apology. How important it is to leader to, you know, I mean, to say I'm sorry, or would you stipulate or encourage this to somebody says from the leaders below the piece, I'm sorry, my decision was terrible and cost you the jobs. Would you say to anybody leader you train to do this?
It is so important. It's so important for our leaders to be vulnerable and for our leaders to make people feel comfortable to fail, because we're asking people to make brave decisions and to make decisions around change, and we don't always have the answers as to what's going to work. So I think a leader who does that really encourages a great culture around them of people who are going to be brave to try new things and new ideas and new ways of doing things. And that's what our business world is needing. We're needing to operate amongst all of this change. So if we fear doing that, we're unlikely to try to progress our business into new ways and new ideas. So I think it's terribly important.
Yeah. No? Did you write anything else?
No, not at the moment. I'm just recapping the idea of mindfulness and fear and anxiety all come together in self-awareness and that vulnerable space of wanting to take action to better oneself.
That is a beautiful summary of this discussion, Darren.
Yes, we're going to charge you for this one. Usually we drag the people here. That's all. That's my leadership. I train that so well.
I'll just put an email to Mario on the side business to get him encouraged.
Yeah, but before we go off the break, and we're going to finish the show in a few minutes. We need to wind up, Kate, which firstly I want to say yet again, thank you very much for finding time today. But before we end the show, a few questions for you. Darren and I, we're quizzing every our guest in the studio with one simple question, and it's better to answer properly. What do you prefer more, Vegemite or Marmite? Nutella! Vegemite. Did you say Nutella? Thank you, Kate!
Vegemite. I'm a Queensland girl. It's Vegemite.
Who
eats Marmite?
What?
I'll put it out there. My mum has Marmite.
Yeah, that's some English, some type of English version of that. Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, it's actually the Australian version, but we won't go there.
Yeah, so if you have the last $10 in your pocket, Kate, what would you do?
Oh, goodness, that's a heavy question. The last $10 in my pocket.
Yeah.
Apart
to buy the pizza for Mari and Darren, but I didn't know that.
No, I think I'd buy some music, I think.
What music?
I really love music.
What music are you listening to?
I love all different types of music.
Do you have any favorite songs?
Literally everything from jazz to rock and roll.
Oh, okay. What do you think, darling? Can we reserve some jazz or some rock and roll?
Well, actually, I've got INXS New Sensation lined up. Does that
sound
good?
That's from my youth.
Oh, excellent. Good pick.
That's a good pick. So before because we have a few minutes before the break, Kate, first of all, how our listeners can find you and how they can contact you? Do you have the website? Do you have the phone? Do you have the email in DHL something? So can you share with our listeners?
Certainly. So on our website, so it's personified, personified.net.au, and all of our other details are listed there as well.
Okay, can you repeat one more time because it was in English? What was the .com something? Sorry, personified.
So it's personified.net.
Yeah.
.au.
Okay, Kate. Well, that was a Kate Pierce from Personified in Brisbane. And truly, if you're looking to be the coach, not the coach, but the leadership coaching, if you want to learn more how to become more productive and more ambitious to transfer your ambitions into the leadership, please contact the Kate Pierce from Personified. And I bet you'll be glad to help them, Kate, right?
Definitely. It's so lovely to speak to you both.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks, Kate. Today afternoon, we're going to have the podcast with Kate Pierce from Personified, and you can hear her story and how you can contact her. Kate, thank you very much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
See you, Kate.
Bye.
Alive 90.5.
We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specialising in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management, workplace investigations, competitor analysis, social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02-882-9837. InsightIntelligence.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Hey fellas, need a new suit? See Mike Sampson Clothier at Winston Hills. He's some great business suits, in fact, suits for any special occasion. Mike also has a complete range of accessories, such as business or formal shirts, ties, belts and shoes, as well as plenty of casual wear for the season ahead. Mike Sampson Clothier is located at Shop 21, Winston Hills Mall, and is a proud sponsor of Monday Magazine with Happy Jack. And of course, your sound, your community, 90.5.
All today's hits and yesterday's favourites.
Alive 90.5. Alive 90.5.
And now on Alive 90.5, here's the latest news brought to you by Pace, transforming places.